Now, he says here in verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Now, what do we mean here by his commandments? Well, the commandments, as I understand it here, are not referring to the Old Testament law at all. They are the commandments the Lord Jesus gave when he was here. And we found not 10 commandments, but about 22 in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. These are commandments. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, these are the commandments for believers today. And every child of God wants to keep these commandments. In other words, it is a practice of his life. This is something that he desires to do. It's something that he wants to do. It's something that he longs to do. Now he says in verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not, and the New Scofield Bible has changed it to burdensome. Well, I'm not going to quarrel with that, because it's a good translation, but the literal is really heavy. His commandments are not heavy. It doesn't really mean that they are difficult to keep, but rather that they do not impose a burden when they're kept. In other words, what he's saying here is something that the child of God wants to do, you see. And it's something that he wants to practice. And it's not difficult for him to do these things at all. Let me illustrate that. It's like the little girl that was carrying a big, heavy baby. And when she passed a group of folk, one of the ladies said, little girl, isn't that baby too heavy for you? And she says, no, he's my brother. Makes all the difference in the world, you see, when he's your brother. His commandments are not grievous. The whole point is this. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not heavy. They impose no burden on us because of the fact that we're keeping them now through love. The story is told about a man and his family years ago in a covered wagon drove into a little town in Oklahoma. And they said to the man that was running the store, he was sitting out on an apple box out on the front of the store, and this man said to him, what kind of town is this here? And the store man said, well, what kind of town did you come from? Oh, he said, we came from a wonderful town. Everybody there seemed to know each other, and they seemed to care about each other and had a concern for each other. They were very wonderful people. We really hated to leave, but we wanted to move west, and we just wondered about where to settle down. What kind of a town is this? And the storekeeper says, well, this is just the kind of town that you left. It's that kind of a town. Man says, I think maybe then we'll attempt to settle here. And they drove down a little ways and stopped their team and got out. And then in a little while, another covered wagon drove up in front of this little store. And when they drive up that close, it was a traffic jam in those days in the little town. And so the man asks that was driving this covered wagon, he says, what kind of town is this? And so the storekeeper again says, what kind of town did you leave? Well, he says, we were glad to get away from it. Says, some of the meanest people I think that I've ever met, and they were never very neighborly or very helpful. We never had any friends there, so that's the reason we left. And so the storekeeper says, I think you're going to find this the same kind of town. Says, we're the same kind of people. And the man says, well, I better drive on. So he drove on. And a citizen of the town who was sitting there with the storekeeper says, wait a minute here. He says, what do you mean? You gave these two men two different viewpoints of the town. And the man says, I've learned that whatever town you come from will be the kind of town that you're going to go to. May I say to you that child of God ought to recognize that today he is not to be looking for somebody to do something for him, but he's to express that love in real action. And he is to express his love in a real concern for others. In other words, he's talking about here the fact that if you love the Lord Jesus and you love your Heavenly Father, you're going to love other believers, and you're going to find that his commandments about loving believers, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you have love one to another, you'll know that you are keeping his commandments, and there won't be any burden to you at all. The Lord Jesus, you remember, said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It'll be heavy unless you really have that real love for the Lord and really want to serve him. Church work never becomes difficult until then. I'd like to close with this little story of Dr. Ironside. Now, you've heard me tell several of his. I heard him teach 1 John when I was in seminary. He taught that to us. And he was talking to a man one time. He says, you know, I think that the church is wasting its money on missions. And there was an old gentleman sitting near, and he interrupted. He says, pardon me, did I understand you to say that you felt like they were wasting money on missions, the church? He said, yes. He says, well, what do you know about it? Well, the man said, I spent 5 months in India, and I didn't see a missionary the whole time I was there. And so this old gentleman there says, by the way, what took you out to India? Well, he says, I went out there to hunt tigers. Well, he said, did you see any tigers? He says, I saw scores of them. Well, the man says, you know, that's interesting. He says, you went out to India to hunt tigers, and you hunted tigers, and you found a lot of them. Well, he says, I'd like for you to know that I spent 30 years in India, and I never saw a tiger, but I've seen hundreds of missionaries. May I say to you, it's only what you're looking for, you see. Are you today concerned, friend, about God's work, and God's word of getting it out? Great many people say, well, I don't see that much progress is being made. Well, friends, you just don't happen to be where the action is. The word of God is going out today, and it's having its effect in hearts and lives, and that's very important. Now, he says here in verse 4, and I'm just going to be able to get my foot in the door, verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, what is it that overcomes the world? Faith. And that's the only way in which you and I will be able to overcome this world around. The world, as someone has said, is too much with us. And we're in the world, we're not to be of it. But this world that you and I are in today is a pretty big, mean, bad world. And you can be caught up in it very easily. You can be trapped by it. And we're going to see next time, what is the victory that overcometh the world? We've said faith, but how does it operate? Now, there is faith that saves us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a faith that will give us a victory over the world. We'll see that next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.